Now when did you last let your heart decide? I can open your eyes, take you wonder by wonder, over, sideways and under, on a magic carpet ride. Say we're only dreaming.
A whole new world, a dazzling place I never knew. But now from way up here, it's crystal clear that now I'm in a whole new world with you.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to our show once again. Let's A Better World. That's a great name. Great song. The song is
Hello.
We Can Show You the World, and that's the objective of this show, to show you the good things about the world. We do holistic health, all the newest research. We do solutions for climate change, which we'll do today, and other major issues. We are into against all the things going on with against women, against poor people, against people of color, racism, sexism. There are so many things going on wrong, and we have ideas and solutions on how we can get better on all these issues. Okay, I'm Bobby Liss. As I said, our co-host is Divine Autry. She will not be here today, but we have a super great guest today. I'm very excited about that. Jane Bluz Mitchell.
Hello.
Author, speaker.
Hello.
Activist. She's been on network TV. Yeah, Jane, just hold on. I'm introducing you. Hold on. I'll be right there.
Oh, okay. Sorry.
That's okay. Jane is a author, a speaker, been an activist, network TV. Right now she does CNN specials. Jane Bluz Mitchell will be on our show. And then also our topic today are going to be about women's issues, about the recent marches that happened January 20th all over the country. Also sex abuse and other major issues. Oh, also equal pay for women. That's a big issue. And there are so many groups that are popping up, and so many men, women are coming to the table and bringing out their stories of how they've had problems with abuse. All right, so the second half of the show will be about climate change, about solutions on what we can do, and we got one big solution has to do with health that Jane will bring out. So stay with us for that. Also, the show's coming up. We've got some great ones coming up. We've had some great ones on the archives. I'll give you the archive number in a minute. Coming up on the 21st, a week from today, Christine Horner, all about holistic health. A lot of good information. The 28th of this month, David Serio will speak about cleansing and about health in general. Got a lot of unique new ideas. On March the 7th, we'll talk about change and trust with Veronica Gabriel. So, big times, a lot of good things going on. And the next, that's about it. So I'm ready to introduce Jane Bluz Mitchell. I just introduced her a minute ago. Jane, are you there?
I am. How you doing, Bobby?
Always doing great. Glad to have you on the show. Thank you. And if you heard me, we're going to start with women's issues. If you want to add any more about you and yourself and your work. But I want to get into women's issues of the day, starting with the recent marches that we had. Go right ahead.
Well, women are finally waking up to the fact that the post-feminist era can really be a post-feminist era. In other words, all the advances that have occurred over the last 100 years could easily be rolled back if we allow the wrong people to remain in power. When my mother was born, my mother lived to almost 100. When she was born in 1916, women didn't have the right to vote. They got universal suffrage, you know, in the early 20s, around 1921. So it's been less than 100 years that women have had universal suffrage, the right to vote. So there are women who are coming of age today that don't remember the battles of Gloria Steinem and Betty Friedan and all the marches and all the fights that we've had. I'm old enough to know what it's like to be considered different because I'm a woman, you know, in the newsroom. Certainly there were trailblazers like Barbara Walters who came before me that made it easier, but she was obviously castigated. She wrote in her book how some of the male anchors that whose names we don't remember. We know Barbara Walters, but the names of the men who didn't treat her seriously because she was a woman, they've been forgotten. But I guess the message is, you know, be vigilant. And sadly, we've elected a president who is a misogynist. He has talked about sexually assaulting women. I don't care what he says. That wasn't locker room talk. When somebody tells you who they are, believe them. Now we have a high-level member of his administration who didn't even have a complete clearance, had an interim clearance, and was allowed to remain, even though the FBI had reported problems with him vis-a-vis his previous wives. And then suddenly a photo a couple of days ago emerges of this guy's ex-wife with a black eye because of the Guardian newspaper doing good reporting. And the president of the United States defends him and says, oh, you know, he says he's innocent. Well, you know, I've covered crime for many decades. Rare is the criminal who says that they're guilty. They all say they're innocent. So the idea that he sides with men time after time after time, the idea that this person in the White House has said, I can do anything I want. I can grab them by the P word. Okay, we all know the word, the vagina. Okay, I can grab them by that private area. And this person is elected to the White House by women. He would not have won had women not voted for him. So I spoke to one woman who said, well, I just wanted to lower my taxes. First of all, that's not shouldn't be the criterion for our decisions that affect the entire the entire world and our future as a planet. I mean, this is a climate change denier who, you know, it makes jokes when it snows. Oh, we need a little global warming here. I mean, we've elected somebody who's emotionally immature, who may be a sociopath, who's a pathological liar, and women helped do that. So what gets me really angry is when people co-sign and support their own oppression. Now, I was hearing about tribes and how Republican and Democrat, those are the two tribes in today's world in America. So women who are Republican women didn't want to switch tribes. But I'll tell you something. In the 2018 election that's coming up, we better switch tribes, okay? Because tribes are not as important as the future of our planet and the future of our country. We are basically becoming the laughingstock of the world. So women are out there marching. But what we need is not just the women who voted for Hillary Clinton. We need the women who voted for Donald Trump to wake up and say, oh, my God, you know, this is not about Republican or Democrat. This is about a person who is mentally unbalanced and unfit for the office, being in the White House, and who has the capability of starting a nuclear war and who has the capability of destroying our planet environmentally by rolling back all the environmental protections, who, you know, is anti-gun control, who is, he said at one point that women need to be punished if they've had an abortion. Okay? I mean, this is, you know, the Taliban talk. So I don't care how you feel about abortion. You can be for it or against it. But the idea that now we're going to punish women, I mean, I personally believe this guy is a nut. Okay? And we've got to stand up. The 2018 midterm elections are the most important elections in practically the history of our country, because if we don't get a Democratic majority, then there's going to be no way to hold him accountable for, and I believe he did, conspire and collude with the Russians to win the election. Now, we can't impeach somebody if you've got a Republican-controlled House and Senate that are not going to do that. They're going to roll over because he's a Republican and so are they. Even though a lot of them are privately disgusted and they're resigning and they're retiring in droves because they don't want to deal with this person.
Wow, that's great. Yeah. Oh, let's talk about the Martians. You know, January 20th was a year after the major inauguration of Donald Trump, the president. And this coming, well, this past 20th of January on a Saturday, there were marches all over the country. Now, here's the thing about it. A lot of the Democratic Party wanted to jump in and talk about elections, but a lot of activism, a lot of activist women wanted to talk about sexual abuse, equal pay, and more. So your thoughts on that, please.
Well, they're one and the same. If you want equal pay, you've got to elect people who respect women and who don't, as the chief of staff, John Kelly, said, oh, I wish we'd go back to the day when women were sacred. Translation, women were in the kitchen, barefoot and pregnant, and doing exactly what men said. Because this is the same guy that looked the other way when he had this person working with him who had given his wife a black eye. And he still defended him. He still defended him and said, basically, he's a good guy. You know, that's the mentality of the good old boys network. The rules don't apply to us. We know what's best for women and for everybody else. And we are the rulers of the world. Well, guess what? No. We are standing up and knocking off the patriarchy. I'm here with a woman just a minute ago, wonderful human being. And we're getting some equipment to shoot a video tomorrow for Jane Unchained, my social media digital news network for animal rights and the vegan lifestyle, the nonviolent lifestyle. And she jokingly said to this one male camera salesman, oh, but because we don't know. And I stopped her. I said, don't say that. Don't feed into those stereotypes that we don't know. Okay? Because we're going to go out tomorrow. We're going to shoot something. That's fantastic. We are all conditioned and trained. My mother was trained to play dumb when she wanted something out of my father. Okay? May they both rest in peace. I love them both. But this was the game. And we got to stop playing the game. So while I think it's great that the Me Too movement is calling out men for thinking they can, you know, whip it out and have their way whenever they want if they've got power, women also have to be held accountable and say, we've got to own our power. We've got to own our competence. And we've got to get more women elected to important positions in government. We've got to run for office. There's a woman down in Orange County who's running against the Dana Rohrabacher, who's one of the most reactionary members of Congress. He's actually considered to be Russia's favorite congressman because who knows, but you can do the math. she's running against him. Does she know she's going to win? No. She's up against a field of men on the Democratic side, but she's running because she feels she has a moral obligation to do so. You know, I was at the Women's March in Washington right after the inauguration that, you know, Trump lied about and said it was the biggest crowd ever, and it wasn't. It was empty. I was there with my girlfriend. We were walking around the streets of Washington, D.C., first thing we noticed was no people. Where is everybody? We were kind of freaked out. Like, what? There's nobody here. In fact, all the vendors who were selling, you know, Make America Great hats and all the other paraphernalia that comes with an inauguration were like devastated because they had all this stuff and nobody was buying. And it was weird because at the end of the day, we were sitting in a vegan restaurant watching, I think it might have been a little sprinkly. I'm not sure. But it was sort of overcast, and we saw this poor guy at the end of the day. He had bought all this stuff to sell, you know, Make America Great hats, yada, yada. He's wheeling it home with basically nothing sold, and it really struck with me. So then it stuck with me. You know, you had Sean Spicer getting up there lying. It's the biggest crowd ever. No, it wasn't, and there's proof. Meanwhile, we were out there within the next day or so, I forget the exact timeline, but for the Women's March. And it was massive. I lived through the 70s and the anti-war marches. I have never seen anything as big as this Women's March. And I was very lucky to be able to get within feet of the speakers who were speaking. And it was all very inspiring. But we were there representing a contingent for animal rights. And it's very important that women stand up for animals. Do you know that we kill 56 to 60 billion sentient beings that are just like our dogs and our cats, called cows, pigs, chickens, turkeys, lambs, every year on this planet? 56 to 60 billion. And they are all in the factory farm system conceived from rape. None of these animals are making love. It is the ultimate violation of the sacred feminine. And they even have an industry term called the rape rack, where they force the semen into these animals. And so if you're a feminist, you shouldn't eat meat. You shouldn't consume dairy products, milk, cheese, ice. There's plenty of vegan alternatives. Now, right. In order for you to steal the mother's milk from a species not our own, that's not designed for us, that is the highest allergic substance in the world, you know, people are so, oh, why do I have dandruff? Why do I have acne? Why do I always have bad sinuses? Well, you're drinking the mother's milk of another species not designed for you in huge right. quantity, and it's filled with pus, and then you wonder. You get rid of it, all those symptoms quite often disappear. So in order for us to steal the mother's milk of that species, the cow, she has to be pregnant. She gives birth, and they have to take the baby calf away from the mother, rip the baby away. The baby screams and cries. The mother screams and cries and tries to chase after the baby. The boys go into veal crates. The girls, their fate is equally terrible. They become, when their mothers are spent and sent off to be slaughtered for hamburger meat, they replace their mothers in this machine, this horrible institutionalized sadist machine called factory farming. If you have an ounce of love in your heart, please stay away from meat and dairy. There's plenty of alternatives, and women don't co-sign rape. They say rape is rape. Well, all of these innocent beings are raped.
Excellent. Wow. For our listeners, this is Jane Bellows Mitchell, who is speaking about, we're talking about women's issues, the marches. She threw a little bit in there about animal rights. We can speak about that a little later. And we have solutions for the climate change problem. A great solution has to do with health, so hang around for that, please. I'm Bobby Elias. Let's create a better world. Jane, 100 years ago was the women's suffrage, and there were women marching for a number of issues. And then, as you remember, in the 70s and early in the 80s, Gloria Steinem was a leader of a women's marches. I know I was a very young man, but I was there, and I was supporting it because it was the right thing to do. My mother brought me up in a real home that was very pro-woman, and I didn't forget that. She was always sweet and good to everybody, and she was a role model for me as for pro-women. But anyway, let's get to our I want to bring up one more issue here. Women in all over the world are being just messed up. In Saudi Arabia, they cut the heads off of women. They throw people off the window, off buildings if they're gay, for example. But women are mistreated badly, horrible, all over the place. And for the slightest thing, they'll cut somebody's head off. And yet the United States does nothing about that because the United States is in partnership with the people that run Saudi Arabia, with weapons, with money, with everything. It's really, really bad. So I like any more thoughts on that, and then we'll move on to another issue on climate change.
Well, I mean, you know what? Charity begins in the home, as they say. So let's deal with a lot of the problems with women's rights right here in the United States, because what happens in the United States is followed around the world. And, you know, there is a growing sense in the Middle East that women are rising up as well because of video, because they can see what's happening in other parts of the world. I'll give you an example. When I graduated from college from NYU in 1977, my first job was in Fort Myers, Florida, and I met a bunch of Iranians who had escaped from Iran before the Shah was overthrown. And they were super modern. We went out. They happened to be very wealthy. They'd pick me up in a Rolls Royce or a limo. We'd go out dancing. You know, it was the disco era. And these were the most modern women. Now, if they hadn't escaped and they were back there in Iran, they'd be running around, you know, literally like back in the medieval era. I actually, for a news story I did once, put on a burqa. And boy, you know, you can't even cross the street because you'll be hit because it's like having blinders on. So this is dehumanizing and it's got to end. You know, we see when we invade countries that we can't enforce our cultural values on them. It's a case of attraction, not promotion. You know, we are very arrogant and imperialistic in a lot of ways. I mean, we went into Vietnam and thought we were going to, you know, just fix everything. And we fell into a quagmire and so many brave American soldiers died. and were injured and had PTSD, and the Viet Cong and the Vietnamese children. You know, the war ended when we saw a video, when we saw a photograph of a little child after napalm was dropped, running naked and screaming. That was the iconic photograph that really made everybody wake up to the horrors of war. So we have to be very careful about saying we know better. We're going to go into another country and tell them how to live their lives. What I think is a better solution is getting our own house in order and showing how we have equity here in the United States between men and women. Right now, women don't make as much as men. There's a good old boys culture in a lot of institutions. There's a lot of arrogance, and it's time that the only way it's going to change is women stand up and say, no, I'm not putting up with that. And, you know, you expect it mostly from older guys, but I see young men who won't treat a woman seriously and who will take the same exact project if it's, you know, one of their bros and take it seriously. So, you know, we've got to stand up. That's why that moment that I just had was, I think, important, because I said to her, no, don't play into that. Don't say, oh, we don't know. You know, like, you could say if you really want to, you don't know, but I'm not going to jump on that, because that is feeding into old stereotypes. So I'm not saying we have to get to the point where a man can never open a door for a woman. Listen, if I'm ahead, I'll open the door for whoever's behind me, male, female, young, old. But the point is that we have a lot of work to do in this country, and we love to go around the world telling everybody what they're doing wrong. Would I want to be a woman in Iran? No. Would I want to be a woman in Saudi Arabia? No. I'd get on a raft and try to get the hell out. But I don't know that that's our job to take care of that right this second. I think when we clean up our own house, with the state of a global video today where people see everything around the world like a global village, in the words of Marshall McLuhan, it will change.
Excellent. Wow. This is Jane Bellis Mitchell speaking. I'm Bobby Elias. This is Let's Create a Better World. We've been talking about women's issues, the marches, the history of what's been going on and the change that's going on. Women are standing up, finally. We're also going to talk about climate change in a few minutes, and we have some solutions for that having to do with health. And then if we have time, Jane, we can go into some animal rights issues. But let me say a few things about women that I have seen, because I've been very close to this. I've been an anti-war activist against the Vietnam War. I was into the civil rights with not only Martin Luther King, but especially Malcolm X and many, many great, great leaders. And all these guys got shot, killed because of the system. But we know that. All right. What I want to bring up is the Caribbeans. Every year, 100,000 young girls are brought in to Atlanta, Georgia, from mostly the Caribbean areas, but other countries too, that are brought in as sexual slaves. They're young girls, and they're sent out to different places, and they can't speak up or they can't tell anybody because their family is being threatened if anything happens wrong. So this is really bad. But I do also, speaking of TV, speaking of the little girl that ran in back in Vietnam, and there was also a guy, an older man, standing there, and a gun was put to his head, and they shot him. That was another second most important picture, if you recall. And then, but you're right, social media is waking up the world. Social media and people with internet, it's a smaller world, and women are catching on to what's going on with all these things going on in the United States with women. The women's movement is huge right now. It's bigger and better than ever. And young women, when I go to the march, I see very young women, teenagers and early college age girls. They're so strong. They're much stronger than the older women, which is really, really good. So anyway, what I was going to say, one more thing. No, I think that's about it. Yeah. Okay, well, let's continue with that. In a few minutes, we're going to get to the climate change issues. Any more on women's issues?
I'd like to say one thing. It's time for all of us to realize not only are we not just Americans or Europeans or Africans or Latin Americans or Asians, but we're human beings. And beyond that, it's come time for us to extend our circle of compassion beyond our fingertips to other species as well. The truth is we're all earthlings. We are destroying our planet. Species extinction is accelerating. The number of species that have gone extinct since we started talking, unbelievable. The number of animals that have been slaughtered for food unnecessarily because, frankly, it's causing heart disease, cancer, obesity, diabetes, climate change, habitat destruction. It's contributing to human world hunger. It's the biggest problem we have. But at its root, it's people who think that they only have to worry about this species, the human species. You know, I was at the Women's March, and I, as I mentioned to you, I was with some animal activists. But we had another woman with us who wasn't an animal activist. She was just a feminist, and that's great. I'm happy about that. We all went to dinner, and she ordered chicken. And everybody else was eating a compassionate, vegan, plant-based, cruelty-free diet. Nobody had to die for our meal. So she ordered the chicken, and I observed her, and she didn't eat it. She didn't touch it. I said, are you going to eat that? And she said, no, you want it? I said, no, I'm a vegan. I don't eat animals. And then she just left it there. I told the waitress, I said, please pack it up. We're going to take that animal who lived a horrible life, who did not ask to die, who had a mother. We're going to take that, and we're going to give it to somebody because it's not going to just sit there. I was fuming. And, you know, I could tell that there was absolutely a complete disconnect. There was no sense that who she ordered was an individual who had a right to her own life. And there is a beautiful video right now out of the mouth of babes that's going viral. It's from the best video you'll ever see. The little baby in the Middle East, the young little boy who is trying to stop his dad from butchering a chicken. And he screams. The dad's getting ready outside the backyard to cut the chicken's throat, and he screams. The little boy's got to be maybe 2, 3, 4, screams and hollers and fights with his dad, and ear-piercing screams. And the dad pushes him away repeatedly, and he screams again, and he fights for the chicken. Finally, he gets the chicken, and his father gives up, and he walks away, and he releases the chicken. If you don't cry watching that video, you're a sociopath. It is so... Right. Profound. The children don't want to kill. We're talking about violence right now. As you're talking to me, there's a huge mass shooting down in Florida at a high school, and I was listening to the details come in as I came here to this camera shop to get ready to do our shoot tomorrow about nonviolence, a nonviolent diet, because we say peace begins on your plate. And I'm hearing about all this horror and this tragedy, and it's so sad. And as a reporter, I've seen so many of these mass shootings. I was in Newtown when that horrible shooting occurred, and it will haunt me for the rest of my days. And there is so much violence in this world. We need to start recognizing violence for what it is. A planet that is essentially a bloodbath, a planet slaughterhouse, where we are just, with the increasing human population, just slaughtering and slaughtering and slaughtering and slaughtering, is a violent world, and it's going to come back to haunt us. Violence provokes violence. Violence begets violence. And what we're seeing in America today is this incredible, insane violence with these mass shootings. I was in Las Vegas when that gunman, I drove by that country festival about an hour and a half before he started shooting, and I said to my girlfriend, oh, maybe we should have gone to the country music festival. And we took off, and when our plane landed back in L.A., we found out that 58 people had been killed and 581 injured by one lunatic monster. Actually, it took a while for those death tolls and those injury tolls to accumulate, but that's his ultimate, that was what he did ultimately, the Stephen Paddock. You wonder, what causes that kind of violence? If you have an underlying river of bloodbath that nobody's talking about, and that even to mention it, people get offended. How dare you? How dare you talk about animals dying when people are dying? Well, guess what? People are dying because animals are dying. Violence breeds violence. Peace begins on your plate.
Wow, that's great. Well, let's, if you don't mind, let's move on to the next subject of climate change. Let me just introduce it a little. Climate change is something that we talk about on this show. We are also activists, and we also bring out solutions for climate change, for genetically engineered foods, GMOs, and also EMF, wireless radiation. We're strongly against all those, and of course, war and weapons and all the horrible things going on. Like you said, a lot of violence in this world. But let's move on to climate change. You have a solution. Bring it in slowly, and then give our listeners the answer as to how we can derail, slow down, or even stop climate change.
I know I sound like a broken record, but in truth, the answer to climate change is to stop eating animals. animal agriculture is the leading cause of greenhouse gases, responsible for more greenhouse gases than all transportation combined. That's according to the United Nations. Google it right now, livestock's long shadow. The World Bank economists say it's much worse than that. It's 51, at least 51% of greenhouse gases. Now, why don't you hear about that on the news? Well, if this lady's telling me the truth, why not hearing that on the news? Well, take a look at the commercials. Meat, dairy, pharmaceuticals, fast food and pharmaceuticals. The two industries that would collapse if people stopped eating meat and dairy. Okay? The pharmaceutical industry, there's a reason they call it the Food and Drug Administration. Because first they feed you the poisonous food, and then they feed you the drugs to cure the effects of the poisonous food. Just dent operations alone are a multi-billion dollar business. That's when they clean out the clogged arteries to your heart so you don't die. Well, arteries are clogged with plaque. Plaque is from cholesterol. Cholesterol only exists in animals. Humans are animals. We produce cholesterol. Animals are animals. They produce cholesterol. There is no cholesterol in any vegetable, period, end of story. Vegetables don't produce cholesterol. So if you have high cholesterol, you go to your doctor, they're going to try to prescribe you a pill. Why? Because there are these drug pushers that work for the pharmaceutical industry walking through the hospitals and the doctor's office carrying their little carry-on bags filled with pills that they push on these doctors, and they make it, they give them incentives for them to prescribe. So we are basically a sick society where a doctor has very little training in nutrition or prevention. They're simply trained once somebody gets sick, here's how you medicate them. And the researchers are all searching for the elusive cure. The cure is to prevent the disease from happening in the first place with dietary changes. The leading killers in America could be reversed or prevented with dietary changes. And the simple dietary change is don't eat meat and dairy. It's that right. Simple. Heart disease is America's leading killer. It kills one out of every right. four people. Now, you were talking about environment, right? Well, guess what? Right. Animal agriculture is the leading cause of climate change. So why, you're probably wondering, why is it that all these best and the brightest organizations, the networks, the newspapers, they don't talk about that. They talk about carbon coming out of factories. Again, the people writing the articles eat meat. The people writing the articles are brainwashed into the assumption that meat is a given and nobody's going to change it. You've got to watch two films. They're on Netflix, and they're produced by the same people. They're brilliant, funny, and they explain all of this. One is Cowspiracy. That's about the environmental angle. And the next is What the Health. Cowspiracy and What the Health. Cowspiracy and What the Health. The truth is that slowly society is waking up. The American Medical Association recently urged hospitals not to serve processed meat in the hospitals. Why? Because processed meat, which is how most people consume a lot of their meat, everything from bacon to hot dogs, processed meat, is officially cancer-causing. It's not, oh, it might be. It's officially cancer-causing, according to the World Health Organization. And this was on the cover of the New York Times. And yet, not that long after, the New York Times does another cover story showcasing all the best all-beef hot dogs without even including a vegetarian option, which there are many vegetarian hot dogs. So would the New York Times put a whole bunch of cigarettes on this cover and say, which is your best cigarette? Which has the best flavor? No, because cigarettes cause cancer. Well, processed meat causes cancer, too. So we have to have a cultural shift. You remember back in the 50s and the 60s when doctors would walk around in their starched whites smoking cigarettes? Yeah, because they smoked cigarettes, and they didn't come to terms with the fact that it's a killer. Well, now everybody's hip to cigarettes, but they've got to get hip to the fact that meat is cancer-causing. Processed meat is cancer-causing. Red meat is a likely carcinogen. I mean, we are getting sick, and we're dying prematurely, and the longevity is finally tapering off and going in the other direction despite all these massive technological inventions and the massive medical so-called breakthroughs. No, the easiest way to fix the disease is make sure you didn't get it in the first place. Heart disease, cancer, diabetes, obesity, all of these can be prevented by eating a healthy, whole food, plant-based diet.
Right. Wow. Okay, for our listeners, this is Jane Velez-Mitchell speaking. She's a media guru, with CNN specials. She's got her own.
Bobby, I used to work for CNN Headline News, but I'd like you to mention, if you could, my digital news network right now is JaneUnchained.com.
I was just going to ask you that.
JaneUnchained.com. Yeah, please, because that's where people can go to get this information.
Okay, I want you to say that slowly at the end of the show, well, towards the end of the show, because and spell out and just give it real slow as possible so people can watch that. I think this is great. I think people need to hear you and see you with all these things that you're doing. I think this is great. All right, now you plant-based diet. This is what we just talk about on this show, and that includes no meat, no dairy, no processed food, no gluten-free, and it's just so many. It's a right way to eat.
You don't have to be gluten-free.
Pardon me?
You don't have to be gluten-free. That's a totally different issue.
Okay, you can talk about that in a minute. But let's the point is plant-based diets, vegetables, fruits, whole grains like beans, legumes, and a lot of juicing. This is the key. This is the way I live, Jane. I'm into health. Everything that I talk about on this show, I do myself. I'm almost like a role model I am a role model for several people that call me a lot because I want to teach them the simple way. And this is the way that Gary Null and PRN do things, and the way we eat, the way we drink, the way we live, because we're with you all the way. Everything you've said so far in the show, we totally agree and we talk about ourselves, but you're bringing it out so well. So let's animal rights. We have time to talk about that, unless you want to say anything more about the climate change and being a vegan. But being a vegan and animal rights go hand in hand. So go ahead. The forum's yours.
Well, everybody, people say, oh, America loves animals. Well, actually, they love dogs and cats, okay, because we're killing billions of animals. Pigs have a higher IQ than dogs. They have the emotional and intellectual development of toddler children. I go and I bear witness on Sunday nights at a pig slaughterhouse near downtown L.A. where thousands of pigs are killed every day. And when I see those trucks pull up with two levels of pigs packed in there and I look in their eyes and they've traveled for such long distances, often across state lines, generally across state lines with no food or water, and I look into their eyes, it's like looking into the eyes of a human being. Absolutely. And it is gut-wrenching and it is haunting. And we try to give them water and comfort them, and it's called Bearing Witness. And it's a new movement. The SAVE movement originated in Toronto. A woman who was a PhD and a student of Tolstoy she wasn't an animal rights activist. She just happened to be walking down the street. She saw a truck filled with pigs, and she locked eyes with one pig, and it changed her life. Because Tolstoy said, we have a moral obligation to bear witness when we see suffering, even if we can't stop it. We have a moral obligation not to turn away, but to bear witness. And she started the SAVE movement, which bears witness outside slaughterhouses. She was arrested for giving water to a pig bound for slaughter, and it was all caught on tape. The truck driver came out and said, they're not human beings, you dumb friggin' broad. Once again, the commonality, the intersection of misogyny and cruelty to other beings. She was put on trial, but she had two brilliant vegan lawyers who put animal agriculture on trial and had veterinarians testifying about the intelligence of pigs and the fact that they have the intelligence and the emotional development of toddler humans. And eventually the charges were thrown out. But she became very well-known. National Review did a story on her. She got global news coverage, and she used it as a platform to start the SAVE movement. And her goal is to have a vigil outside every slaughterhouse in the world. She's already got hundreds of them now. They're in the United States. They're in Europe. They're in Latin America. And she's going to start in Asia and Eastern Europe. So we're well on our way. I support her, and she supports me. And I consider her a Gandhi of our time. And I was just talking to her yesterday, and I always say, when I talk to her, like, wow, this is like talking to Martin Luther King Jr. or talking to Gandhi. Amazing. She's a pretty unbelievable human being. She has very little ego. She has such a spirit. It's amazing. And so I do feel that the animal rights movement is going to hit the tipping point very soon. People need to get out of denial.
The lady you just spoke about, what is her name? The lady that you said is like a Gandhi or a MLK?
Anita Crimes. Okay. And
Go ahead.
Most people who are listening today, if they eat pork or beef or chicken, I would think that most of them would be very hard-pressed to grab that animal and slit the animal's throat themselves. I think they'd be haunted right. by it. I think they wouldn't want to do it. I think most of them would throw down their knives, and those who did it would be haunted. And yet, well, let's hire a bunch of poor people, mostly immigrants, who can't afford to turn down the job so they can have PTSD, so they can have depression and alcoholism, so they can be tormented by the idea that their job is to kill animals on a day-in, day-out basis. That's cowardice. You know,
yes, it is.
I don't believe in hunting. I'm against hunting. But at least they are coming to terms with what they're doing. It's not a fair fight. They're using guns. They're using dogs. They're using now high-tech yep. equipment. I mean, I think it's abhorrent. But at least they're coming to terms with what they're doing. I mean, people who think that hamburgers grow on trees, people who think I'm a good person and I love animals while they're eating a hamburger, I mean,
right.
give me a break. You're in denial. Wake up.
Very well said. Yes, that's a fact. And more and more people. But you know what, Jane? One of the good things is things are changing. More people are becoming at least vegetarians, and more people are getting into veganism. I go to health shows, and there's more and more talk about organic and about health and about being a vegan. Things are changing for the better, slowly but surely. Let's talk about the animal rights issues all over the country and how what we can do. What can Joe Public do or Josie Public do to help out the animal rights movement?
The most important thing is to stop eating them and
right.
drinking and eating their byproducts. Number one thing, if people are listening and going, wow, yeah, I do love animals. I love my dog. Oh, I would do anything for my dog. I love my cat. I would do anything for my cat. Stop killing other animals that are just like your
right.
dogs and cats. If somebody came into your house and grabbed your dog and hung it upside down by his leg and slit his throat and let him bleed out, you'd be horrified. You'd want to get that person arrested. That happens to billions of animals. In fact, just today I was contacted by the Animal Clock, which is an organization that has a clock that shows how many animals are dying. And I think it was like 32,000 died in the 10 seconds it took me to look at the email. I mean, it's just, there's no words. There's no words. There's no words to describe
yep.
what we're doing to these animals. If you love animals, the one thing you can do is please stop eating them. And then you can stop worrying them, too. I have a friend who loves her dog, loves it, would do anything for her dog, spends thousands of dollars going to the vet. She wears a leather belt, leather shoes, leather jacket. She asked me to walk her dog one day. Her keychain was leather. So I took the keychain out and I left the leather keychain and I put another keychain on. I was like, and then somebody in the neighborhood said, oh, yeah, she's a real animal lover. I said, no, she's not. She's a dog lover. Very big difference.
That's right. Jane, you talked earlier about your work and about how you're putting together some new projects right now. And I want to let our listeners know about that. Can you spell it out, explain it, what it is, and say it slowly so people can catch on and maybe they can learn from your recent work that you're doing right now?
It's JaneUnchained.com. You can also go to JaneVelezMitchell.com. You can also go to JaneUnchained.org. You could go to JaneVelezMitchell.org. I have several websites, but JaneUnchained JaneUnchained.com is the main place, and it'll take you to our Facebook page, where we had 16.5 million video views in 2017. So we're growing very fast. We're a digital news network. We go live on Facebook, and then we embed those videos on the website. Then we pump them out to LinkedIn and to email blasts and to Twitter and to Tumblr and to Pinterest and all the other social media. And we urge you to go there and look at the content. We do a daily vegan cooking show called Lunch Break Live every day at 12:30 p.m. Pacific, 3:30 Eastern on Facebook. And then we teach people how to eat plant-based. I mean, you know, eating animals is weird. Eating vegetables is normal. We've got things confused in this country because
right.
the USDA is controlled by the meat and dairy industry. And so they've now, you know, they have for a long time created this whole thing about meat. Meat, you know, there's more protein calorie per calorie in kale than there is in steak. There's plenty of protein in beans and in tofu and in all the other things. And people go, ooh, tofu. Yeah, they
don't know
to create that as a danger, that it's a complete, soy isn't good for you. Well, guess what? 94% of all soy is consumed by animals, farm animals. So if you don't like soy, you're eating concentrated soy when you eat meat or dairy.
That's correct. Very well. Okay, Jane, we got a few minutes left. Just your closing thoughts for the next 3 or 4 minutes about whatever issue you want to talk about. We talked about climate change earlier. We talked about women's rights. We talked about – I know the one that most dear to your heart, I think, is being a vegan and stop eating meat. So any of those issues, give a 3 minute or 4 minute little talk about how – encourage people.
Yes. It's not a sacrifice. It's an adventure. We only eat about 5 animals, but there are tens of thousands of vegetables and fruits and nuts and grains that can be arranged in an infinite number of ways to create delicious food. We've had vegan lasagna, vegan quesadillas, vegan enchiladas, vegan Asian food, vegan sushi. People go, oh, well, it's too bad you can't eat sushi anymore. It's like, yeah, I can. I have great vegetarian vegan sushi. In fact, there's a gourmet vegan sushi restaurant in L.A. called Sojin that's unbelievable. You know, you can have any kind of food. And the truth is that most foods, if you look, go back to wherever you're from, whether you're from Europe or you're from Africa or you're from Latin America or you're from Asia, it's essentially plant-based. We didn't have factory farming. People ate vegetables, and meat was a treat that they had occasionally. This is an upside-down world, and fast food is the culprit. Fast food only came on the scene in the 1950s. Before that, people ate a lot of vegetables. So go back to your roots. You know, people. I talk to people in communities of color, and they're like, oh, I could never change. You're brainwashed. If you look at the Ethiopians, I'm right near a little Ethiopia. There's tons of vegan Ethiopian restaurants. The Ethiopian marathon runners are vegan. They eat vegetables. Carbs are the substance that give you energy, not meat. Meat drags you down. Our stomachs are not designed to process meat. If you were an actual carnivore, when you saw roadkill on the side of the road, you'd do what real carnivores do. You'd start salivating. You'd pull over, and you'd want to eat it. If you were a real carnivore, when you walk past the meat section in the grocery store, you would find it hard-pressed not to grab that raw chicken breast and just eat it. We can't do that because we're not carnivores. Little children reject meat generally, and their parents, their misguided parents, push them on them because they have been brainwashed. Milk, it does a body good. Really? Give me a break. It's not even designed for human beings. So I'm just telling you, there's a whole adventure on the other side. We are a happy lot. Do a daily vegan cooking show where we show that there's tremendous amounts of food that you can eat that nobody has to suffer or die for. And it's very joyous because when you stop killing, on some level, everybody who eats a hamburger or a hot dog or bacon knows they're killing. And it is deep down in their soul and in their heart and in the recesses of their mind, they know that it's not necessary and that they're killing. And I just ask you, when you think about food, when you're shopping, when you're ordering, when you're sitting down, think about the eyes of a cow that is going into that chute where their throat is going to be slit. The terrified cow. Think about the terrified pig. I hear the squeals when I bear witness and they go through the gates. I hear the squeals. It haunts me. These animals deserve to have their own lives. It is the litmus test of civilization. It is the next phase of human evolution if we get there, if we don't destroy ourselves first. And I urge you to go to janeunchained.com. There's so many recipes. It's fun. It's adventurous. The SAD American diet, standard American diet, is the most restrictive diet on the planet. Kick it and live life and enjoy life without killing. Peace begins on your plate. Thank you so much for having me, Bobby.
No, what am I to you? Hang in there just a minute. That's janeunchained.com. Also, one more story. I got another 2 minutes with you here. In this country, people are eating more and more meat, and it's getting less, but here's the problem. Eating meat has caused this country and other first world countries are eating more meat, and they're getting more cancer, heart disease, cancer, are the two number one killers, and that a lot of it's caused because of meat. Is that right?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay, good.
Absolutely.
Good.
You know, Oh, they're laughing. Sometimes we get these trolls, you know, who laugh at us and make fun of us. Well, when you're in the hospital and you're sick, you know, you'll know why. You'll know why.
Right. Jane, you've been wonderful. JaneUnchained.com. And, okay, thank you so much for being with us. You were great as usual. Appreciate it.
Love you, darling. Bye.
We love you, too. Take care. Wow. A lot of information. Jane goes pretty fast, but she's got a lot to say, and she does a lot of great work in the media. So you have that information, JaneUnchained.com. I urge you to look it up and see what's going on with what she's doing. She does a lot of great things. All right, so this is really good. You know, our show is about all these issues that we're talking about. Our show, Let's Create a Better World, is about a plant-based diet, about organic foods, about eating healthy, exercising, sleeping right, and doing all the right things. And one more thing about eating. When you eat your food, eat slowly, because if you don't, I've had more and more people are getting issues with their liver and their immune system. When you eat fast, the food is not digested. It doesn't go into the intestines and into your system the right way. It goes in jumbled up big. It's not chewed up. It should go in almost like a liquid, and it doesn't. And that's what causes more problems for the your liver and your kidneys and your intestines, period. So we want to do that. Now, let's talk about the next few weeks' shows. As I mentioned earlier, and let me give you, before I do that, before I forget, let me give you a number to call. You can hear this show again tomorrow. Tell your friends about it. It'll be on the telephone and the online archives. And that the phone number to call, if you want to hear this show on your phone tomorrow, is area 701-801-0994. Five of our most recent shows are on there. This one will be on button number one, and the show we had on the week before would be on button two, and on down for the first five buttons that we have on that number. Again, the number is area 701-801-0994. The next few weeks, we've got some great shows ready for you, and that would be on the 21st, Dr. Horner. Dr. Christine Horner is going to talk about, and by the way, she was invited by Gary Null on one of his prize-winning DVDs to be on there to talk about health, because she is one of the best health advocates in the world. She's great. She'll be on next week. That's the 21st. It's all Wednesday, like as usual, 5 o'clock Eastern, 2 p.m. Pacific time. The week after, David Serio talking about cleansing and talking about health in general. He worked with Bob Marshall. Dr. Bob Marshall passed away about a year ago, and David Serio worked with him, and he's worked with a lot of issues. He does a lot of work, not just cleansing, but overall health. He's got a couple new projects in the works that we'll tell you about when you listen to his show 2 weeks from now on February the 28th. Then on the 7th, Veronica Gabriel will talk about change, and we'll talk about women's issues. We'll talk about that this is the age of women. It's coming around, and this has been happening. We knew about this, and it's there. It's coming more and more. We'll talk about trust. We're going to talk about love. So we have a lot of good things to talk about. So tune in on the 7th of March to hear Veronica Gabriel. All right. And let me also just say that this show, if you have any questions, let me give you my phone number. If you have any questions, if you have any thoughts of future shows or guests, please call me. Don't be shy. My number, 323-770-1925. Again, area 323-770-1925. Feel free to call me. I'm Bobby Elias. I'm your host on the show, executive producer. Our co-host, she'll be back in a few weeks, and that is Divine Aubrey. All right, let me start saying thank yous to everyone, and thank you, the listeners, for tuning in to the show. I am so pleased and so happy and so grateful that you come in. I'm honored, and we're here to help you live longer, be healthier, and know all these things that are going on, as we say in the show. So thank you to you, the listeners. Thank you to Jane Velez Mitchell, our guest today. What a great show. Tune in on the archives to hear it. Tell your friends about it. That number to call, again, is area 701-801-0994. You can also get it online. Thank you to Alex, our engineer today. Thank you to Jesse, the PRN director. Thank you to our producers, Stuart Hassel, Greg, and Lydia. Thank you all, and thank you, the listeners, for tuning in again. And be with us again next Wednesday at 5 p.m. Eastern Time, 2 p.m. Pacific. And we'll finish up with our song, and that's it. Thank you. Bye.
I'll chase them anywhere. There's time to spare.